नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट 30 श्री शुक उवाच एवं गजेन्द्रम उपवर्णित निर्विशेषम् ब्रह्मादयो विविध लिंग विधाभिमान नैते यदोपसस्पृपुर निखिलात्मकात्वात् तत्राखिलामरमयो हरिराविरासित् And purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Sri Shukdev Goswami continued, when the king of the elephants was describing the supreme authority without mentioning any particular person, he did not invoke the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra and Chandra. Thus, none of them approached him. However, because Lord Hari is the super soul, Purushottam, the personality of Godhead, he appeared before Gajendra. Purport. From the description of Gajendra, he apparently was aiming at the supreme authority, although he did not know who the supreme authority is. He conjectured, there is a supreme authority who is above everything. Under the circumstances, the Lord's various expansions, such as Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Chandra and Indra, all thought, Gajendra is not asking our help. He is asking the help of the Supreme, who is above all us. As Gajendra has described, the Supreme Lord has various parts and parcels, including the demigods, human beings and animals, all covered by separate forms. Although the demigods are in charge of maintaining different aspects of the universe, Gajendra thought that they were unable to rescue him. Harim vina naiva mritim taranti. No one can rescue anyone from the dangers of birth, death, old age, and disease. It is only the Supreme Personality of Godhead who can rescue one from the dangers of material existence. Therefore, an intelligent person, to get free from the dangers, from this dangerous existence, approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not any demigod. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.20, Kamastasta Rita Jnana Prapadyante Anya Devata. Those who are unintelligent approach the various demigods for temporary material benefits. Actually, however, these demigods cannot rescue the living entity from the dangers of material existence. Like other living entities, the demigods are merely eternal parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's transcendental body. As stated in the Vedic mantras, Sa Atma Angani Anya Devata. Within the body is the Atma, the soul, whereas the various parts of the body, like the hands and legs, are external. Similarly, the Atma of the entire cosmic manifestation is Narayan, Lord Vishnu, and all the demigods, human beings, and other living entities are parts of his body. It may also be concluded that since a tree lives on the strength of its root, and when the root is nourished with water, all parts of the tree are nourished. One should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original root of everything. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very difficult to approach, He is very near to us because He lives within our hearts. As soon as the Lord understands that one is seeking His favor by fully surrendering, naturally He immediately takes action. Therefore, although the demigods did not come to the aid of Gajendra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead immediately appeared before Him because of His fervent prayer. This does not mean that the demigods were angry with Gajendra. For actually, when Lord Vishnu is worshipped, all other demigods are also worshipped. Yasmin tuste jagat tustam. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied, everyone is satisfied. Yatha taror mool anisheshchinena trippyanti yatshaka bhujopashaka skanda bhujopashaka prano parhakcha yatendriyanam tathaivas sarvaharam achyatejya. As pouring water on the root of the tree energizes the trunk, branches, twigs and everything else, and as supplying food to a stomach enlivens the senses and the limbs of the body, so simply worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service automatically satisfies the demigods who are the parts of that Supreme Personality. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped, All the demigods are satisfied. So before I begin, I would like to seek the blessings of all the senior devotees assembled here. So when we were in the school, there was one nice joke which we used to crack and which is common. Many of you must be knowing. There was one, three people. One was Hindu, Muslim and a Christian fellow. All three of them were having a boat ride and suddenly there was a storm and the boat started dwindling and they were on the verge of dying, drowning and death. So the Muslim person, the Muslim fellow, he cried out, "Hey Allah, mujhe bacha lo, please save me." And he was saved. And the Christian person, "Oh God, please save me." And he was saved. But the Hindu fellow, he said, "Deva, mala vachao." And he drowned and he died. So after dying, when he went to the heaven, so all the demigods and gods, they were assembled there. And he lodged a complaint against them that the Christian person, when he called out his God, he was saved. And the Muslim called out for help to Allah, he was saved. But I called you and I died. I was not saved. So all the gods replied that actually you are referring to whom? We did not know whom you are referring to. So we were confused who should go to help. And therefore, in that confusion, we could not help you. And in the meanwhile, you died. So your Gajendra status is somewhat not like this. Because here, even though Gajendra may not refer, as Prabhupada and this verse is mentioning, Gajendra may not or was not mentioning any person, and what to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was just referring to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not directly, but indirectly through the different qualities of the Lord. And therefore, after hearing these fervent prayers which Prabhupada mentions in this purport, all the demigods who are also hearing these prayers felt themselves incapable of helping the Supreme Lord. Helping Gajendra. Why? Because all of them were well versed with the power of the Supreme Lord, with the qualities of the Supreme Lord. And therefore they understood that Gajendra, even though he may not refer to any person, ultimately or indirectly is referring to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And therefore we see in this verse that the Supreme Lord Purushottam Narayan, he appeared before Gajendra. So through this verse it is established, or through these prayers it is established, that there is only one Ishwar. As Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Ekala Ishwar Krishna Arasabha Britya. Only Krishna is the Supreme Lord, all others are the servants of that Supreme Lord. And why the demigods did not go? Because all of them, understanding that we don't possess the ability which the Supreme Lord possesses. And the Supreme Lord is the only person who can give everything what Gajendra is praying for. And as Gaurang Prabhu very beautifully summarized the prayers of Gajendra in his last class, as to what were the five things which Gajendra was praying for. So Gajendra was basically praying for knowledge, liberation, purification, sense control, and constant remembrance of the Lord. So all these benedictions which Gajendra was praying through his prayers can only be given by the Supreme Lord himself, and no one has the capacity to do it. And therefore, none of the demigods came for rescue to Gajendra. And it is only the Supreme Lord. Why he can give these benedictions? Because he is the possessor of all the opulences. And among those opulences comes all this. The knowledge, sense control, and purification, the ability to purify others, because he himself is all pure. And therefore, he himself had to come to rescue Gajendra, because being the possessor of all these opulences. And therefore, we see this same episode in the same 8th canto, somewhat similar, like Gajendra's request. In the 8th chapter of this very same 8th canto is the churning of the ocean of milk. So as we all know that during this process of churning, so many valuable things came up. Along with, first came up the poison, then came different diamonds, the stones, then the airavat. And finally, before the Amrit had to come, the supreme goddess of all fortune, Sri Rama Devi, she appeared. And when she appeared, because of her exquisite beauty, her youth, her charming attractiveness, all of them were attracted to her. But all the demigods, the demons, and all of them were desiring to have her as her, as their consort. But before that, all of them welcomed Rama Devi and performed a beautiful abhishek. Like, full description is given how earth offered the seat, then all the personified rivers, Mother Ganga, Mother Jamuna, they all came in golden pots for the abhishek, and then different demigods offered different things. And finally, all the brahmanas, when they offered the abhishekam, Lord Brahma offered the lotus flower, and with that lotus flower, and they also offered a lotus garland. Even though they were all worshipping Rama Devi, but within the heart of hearts, the demons, the demigods, the chanaras, the gandharvas, all of them, they are all longing for her. But as we know, that the supreme goddess of fortune, Rama, being the eternal consort of the supreme lord, cannot accept anyone as her husband except the supreme lord Vishnu. But because she was born from the ocean, being the daughter, ocean gave her the choice of having a swayamvar to decide who her husband will be. But what was the basis of that swayamvar? There are different things, different criterias which Rama Devi is presenting, and we'll see through these different verses that how Rama Devi, based on the different criterias or the points which she has as to what her husband should be, she goes to each and every person, each and every demigods and the demons who are standing there, but she does not find anyone qualified to be her husband except the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So, the goddess of fortune, when she begins to examine, first point, she goes to find out, she finds there were many people, many sages, who were very austere, but she found out that they were unable to conquer their anger. The first thing. Then she went to other people, other demigods or sages, who had full knowledge, but he didn't conquer the material desires, which knowledge is supposed to do. And there were other great personalities, but they could not conquer the lusty desires. Even a great personality, she found out that even great personalities who were assembled there, they were dependent on something else. And therefore, the criteria for which she was looking in the people to have her husband was to be the supreme controller. She was finding out someone who is a supreme controller, but she could not find anyone, because everyone assembled there, they were controlled by someone, something or the other. Then she takes other criteria into consideration. And what is that? The other criteria was, is there any other person who is free from the three modes of material nature? Then she goes out to find out that someone who possessed full knowledge of religion, but he was not kind to all living entities. Then someone, others, like other demigods, they were fully renounced, but their renunciation was not the cause of their liberation. Other possessed great power, but yet they were unable to check the power of the eternal time. Someone else had renounced the attachment to the material world, yet they could not compare their renunciation, their detachment could not be compared to that of the renunciation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, no one is completely freed from the influence of material modes of nature. So nobody was fitting into the second criteria also, being freed from the modes of material nature. Then she comes for other criterias, Then she finds out that there was someone who had long life, but they were not auspicious. And in that criteria, they were not auspicious, nor did they have good behavior. Then there were some who were both auspicious and good behavior, but their duration of life was not fixed. So many conditions. Like today's girls also, when they get married, they put so many conditions. So this is coming from Ramadevi herself. Parampara is there. So although such demigods as Lord Shiva, who were there, who had eternal life, but she even rejected Lord Shiva. Why? Because he was inauspicious. Because Lord Shiva stays in crematoriums. So she rejected him also. And if even others who were well qualified in all respects, even though others who had all these qualities, but they were not the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so they were also completely rejected. So all this rejection is going on one after the other. But finally, Shukadeva Goswami says that in this way, after full deliberation, the goddess of fortune accepted only one person, who? Mukunda, as her husband. Although he is independent. Why? The criteria which Shukadeva Goswami mentioned is, although he is independent and not in want of her, he possesses all transcendental qualities and mystic powers and is therefore the most desirable. And therefore we see that even Lakshmi Devi, just like Gajendra, Lakshmi Devi had some qualities which were there in her mind, and only Supreme Lord Vishnu, Narayan, fitted in that qualities, and therefore she accepted only Narayan as her husband. So just like Gajendra also, he is offering prayers, mentioning the different qualities which nobody has except the Supreme Lord, and therefore the Supreme Lord himself had to come to rescue him. And Prabhupada also in this purport slightly takes opportunity, wherever Prabhupada's qualities, that wherever he has opportunity, he just puts down demigod worship, right? And therefore Prabhupada says that in the purport, the demigod worship should not be done. And he quotes the Shastra also. Why? Because their inability. We see in these prayers and this verse also, this verse refers that nobody came. Neither Lord Shiva, nor Brahma, nor Indra, Chandra, Varuna, nobody came for the rescue. Why? Because when Supreme Lord is there, others are not required. Prabhupada gives the verse, just like watering the root of the tree, the branches, the leaves, the fruits, everybody is nourished, everything is nourished. Similarly, when worships the Supreme Lord, all others are satisfied. And but the important part of this is, of this whole prayers, through the series of prayers which Gajendra offered, this verse, which today we are referring to, this verse is a success verse of all the prayers which Gajendra had offered. Right? Till now we read so many verses. Right? 29 verses were there, just Gajendra offering prayers. Right? So we also offer prayers, but how many times we are successful in approach, in receiving or in activating the mercy of the Lord? But here Gajendra is successful. He has completely taken shelter of the Lord, and because of his prayers of surrender, the Supreme Lord appeared before him. And that was the success of all his prayers. And therefore, we can understand through this pastime and through this verse that the devotee, if he is completely surrendered, and in that surrendered mood, if he offers the prayers from his heart, his success is guaranteed to such a devotee. Even though, if not in this lifetime, in some lifetime, success is there. As Krishna says, Bhagavata, Neya Bikrama Nashvasti. Our attempts, our prayers will never go in vain. Because every prayer of surrender which you offer to the Lord, that is taken into account by the Lord himself. He's considering each and every prayer of us and considering us. And one day, when the prayers become ripe and mature, our surrender becomes mature enough, that will definitely attract the mercy of the Lord, and the Lord will definitely rescue us from the dangers of this material existence. And that is the Lord promises that na me bhakta pranashyati, that my devotee will never perish. But the criteria is one has to surrender wholeheartedly to the Lord and offer prayers. And when one does this, the Supreme Lord is bound, he is forced to protect his devotees. As we see in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita also, a small narration comes when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets Sanatan Goswami in Jagannath Puri. After returning from, because Sanatan Goswami goes to Vrindavan and then he comes back to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there, when Mahaprabhu inquires Sanatan Goswami about the welfare of Rupa Goswami and especially about his brother Sri Vallabha Anupam, then Sanatan Goswami informs that on the way back, when we are coming, Sri Vallabha, that is Anupam, left his body. And then Mahaprabhu begins to glorify, like normally as we do when some great devotee passes away, we celebrate his disappearance day as a and offer prayers, describe his glories. So Mahaprabhu also describes the glories of Sri Vallabha. So as we all know that Anupam was initially not a devotee of Krishna. He was a great devotee of Lord Sri Ramachandra. So Sanatan Goswami actually begins to glorify his brother. And he says, Sei Anupama Bhai Shishukala Hoite Raghunatha Upasana Kare Dhrida Chitte. He says, My dear brother Anupam, right from his childhood, Kare Upasana Chitta Dhrida. With full determination, he used to worship right from his childhood Raghunath. He was a devotee of Lord Sri Ramachandra. And he worshipped him with great determination. Ratri dine, how determined he was? Ratri dine Raghunather nama aradhyan Ramayana niravadhi shunekaragan. That whole day and night, he used to constantly meditate, chant the names of Lord Sri Ramachandra and constantly recite Ramayana. That was his determination and the dhridta with which he used to worship Lord Sri Ramachandra. And then he says that Ami Ara Rupa Tatra Jeshtra Sahodar, that Rupa Goswami and myself, being his great brothers, what did we do? Amaduha Sangeteho Rahe Nirantar. We always used to keep in our association, and he also longed to always be in our association because both of us are elders. And therefore, being a younger brother, you always longed to be in our association. And then, Ama Sabha Sange Krishna Kata Bhagavata Shuni. Because it's obvious, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they were constantly engaged in chanting and describing the pastimes of Supreme Lord Krishna. And being in their association, Sri Vallabh was also constantly hearing the pastimes of Supreme Lord Krishna. Tahara pariksha kailun ami dui jane. And then Sanatan Goswami said, both of us try to test his determination, his devotion to Supreme Lord Ram. Then how did they test him? Both of them approached Sri Vallabh and they requested him something. And they said, Suna ho Vallabha, that oh my dear brother Vallabha, please Sri Vallabha, please hear what? Krishna Parama Madhur, that Krishna is the most attractive. Parama Madhur. So what you should do? Saundarya Madhurya Prema Vilasa Prachur. He says he's not just attractive, he says he's full in his beauty, sweetness and pastimes of love. There is no limit to it. And therefore, what you should do is Krishna Bhajana Kara Tumi Amadhur Sange. So therefore, you give up the worship of Supreme Lord Ramachandra and engage in worshipping Krishna along with both of us. Krishna bhajana karatumi amaduhar sange tina bhai ekatra rahimo Krishna katha range. How nice it will be, like all the devotees is there, when they become devotees, they also feel that our brothers, sisters, our parents, all of them should become devotees so that all of us can engage in devotional service together in love and devotion. So even Rupa and Sanatan, in the process of testing Anupam, Sri Vallabh, they requested that you can also be lost. You can also drown yourself in this nectarian ocean of Krishna's beauty, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's qualities. All three of us can perform devotional service of Krishna together. And then, ehi mata bara bara kahi dui jan. And they were constantly, both of them were requesting Sri Vallabh that give up this, come on, engage in devotional service to Krishna. Amadur gaurave kichu phiragela mane. So in this way, when Rupa and Sanatan used to speak again and again, because of their persuasion and great respect for both of them being their elder brothers, his mind somehow or the other turned from the worship of Lord Ramchandra to worship of Krishna. Somewhat, because he was seeing them as their elder brothers and also as their guru. It was difficult for him, but somehow or the other, because of constant persuasion, his mind changed a bit and he got somewhat thought of, yes, I should worship Krishna. And then he says, Tomar duhar agya ami keman alanghimo, that you both of you, how can I disobey your instruction? Diksha mantra deho Krishna bhajana karimu. Now both of you should initiate me. Give me a diksha mantra so that I can engage myself in Krishna bhajan. So therefore, Krishna bhajan, people may say, I am chanting, what is the need of diksha? So here is a proof where Sri Vallabh is proving that without diksha, as I say, diksha vina mantra, there is no phal, there is no fruit without diksha, even if you chant for hundreds of years. So Sri Vallabha could have just began chanting Hare Krishna, but then he's requesting his brothers that please give me diksha, please initiate me into this process, give me the mantra, then I can begin the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Therefore, initiation is a must for anyone to begin or to continue the process of chanting Hare Krishna. And as he continued, because of the request of his brothers, ehi kahe ratra kale karina chintan ke mana chhadi moragu na tera charan. Even though he was engaged in chanting Krishna's name, Krishna mantra, but at the back of his mind, he was always feeling that I have given up the worship and of the lotus feet of Raghunath. Ke mana chhadi moragu na tera charan. Sabaratri krandhana kari koila jagaran. And this pain, he was affected by this pain of giving up the worship of Lord Raghunath, was affecting him so much that he could not even sleep whole night. Sabaratri krandhana, whole night he used to cry because of his separation from Lord Ramachandra. Sabaratra krandhana kari koila jagaran. He used to do night outs. Pratakale amaduhai koila nivedan. And when this continued for a long time, he came to us and he just requested something. And what was the request? The request was, Raghunathera pada padme veyachana matha kaditena paro matha paya bada vyatha. That is very difficult. I have sold my heart, I have sold my head, he says, to the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra. I cannot take it away. That would be too painful for me. He presents his heart to his brothers. And then he requests, Kripa kori more agyae deha dui jane. He's requesting them, Kripa kori more agya deha dui jana janma janma sevana raghu nathera charana. I know that both of you want me to engage in devotional service to Krishna, but my condition is I cannot give up the worship of Lord Ramchandra. It is very difficult for me because I have sold my head to him. Therefore, it is my humble request to both of you that please give me your blessing so that I can engage in the worship of Lord Ramchandra. Raghunathera pada padma chhadina nayai. I cannot give up the worship of the lotus feet of Raghunath. Chhadi bara mana hoila pranapatiyai. He says, when I even think of giving them up, my heart breaks. This is the surrender of Sri Vallabh. Completely surrendered to the worship of Lord Ramachandra. Then Sadhana Goswami says, Tabe ami duhi tare alingana kailun, because they were testing. Both of them were testing the devotion of Sri Vallabh to Lord Ramachandra. And seeing the success, seeing that how much Sri Vallabh was dedicated to worshipping Lord Ramachandra, both of them embraced Anupam and they said, Sadhu Dhrida Bhakta Tomar Kahi Prashin Shilum. He says, upon hearing this, we each embraced him and encouraged him by saying, you are a great saintly devotee. For your determination in devotional service is fixed. In this way, we praised him. So both of them, they blessed him, glorified him, and praised him for his determination in worshipping Lord, the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. Yehi vamshera upar tomar hoi kripalesh sakala mangalata hai kande sabaklesh. My dear Lord, the family upon which you bestow even a little mercy is always fortunate, for such mercy makes all miseries disappear. Then Sanatana Goswami is praying to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that it is your mercy that our whole family is engaged in your devotional service, and it is only this mercy which has makes or which makes all the miseries completely disappear. So Gajendra was in a miserable situation. So he offered prayers of surrender, and then when the Lord bestowed his mercy, showered his mercy, the miserable condition, he was relieved of his miserable condition. But then hearing this whole glorification of Sanatana Goswami, Mahaprabhu makes one very important two statements, and this is repeated. This whole pastime is repeated again. Here Sanatana Goswami is speaking about Anupam. The other case, other condition is when other great devotee of Lord Ramachandra, Murari Gupta, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him that you should give up the worship of Lord Ramachandra and engage in devotional service to Krishna, the same condition, Murari Gupta tells, yes, I can give it up. And he gives it up also. And he begins the process of Krishna consciousness. But after some time he comes and he tells Mahaprabhu that I am in a great dilemma. What is the dilemma? The dilemma is, I cannot give up following your instructions, that is worshipping Krishna, but at the same time, I cannot give up worshipping my worshipful Lord, Lord Sri Ramachandra. What should I do? Please, please take out note of this dilemma. So both the times, Mahaprabhu quotes, or Kaviraj Goswami quotes Mahaprabhu, quoting the same statement. Very powerful statement, a hope-giving statement. And therefore, Mahaprabhu says, Sehi Bhakta Dhanya. Great is that devotee. Sehi Bhakta Dhanya Yena Chhade Prabhur Charan. Great is that devotee who does not give up the lotus feet of his worshipful Lord, and Sehi Prabhu Dhanya Yena Chhade Nijajan. And great is that Lord who never gives up his devotees, who never gives up his Nijajan. This is one thing. This is only, if one somebody reads this word, he may say, yes, even becomes a devotee, right? But still more hope-giving verse is the next one, which Mahaprabhu says, Durdev yadi, he says, Durdev yadi bhaktagan yaya anya sthane. If by misfortune, if a devotee gives up the process of Krishna consciousness and goes to some other place, Durdev, why misfortune? Se thakur dhanyatare chuli dharyane. Great is that Lord, that even though when his devotee gives up the process of Krishna consciousness, gives him up, that Lord is great. Why? Because the Lord does not forget him, does not give him up. And by holding his shika, chuli dharyane, he gets him back into his association, he gets him back in the process of devotional service. And we'll see in these future verses that when the Lord appears, Gajendra did not have any chuli, he did not have any shika. So the Lord pulls him. Maybe it is not mentioned. Maybe because by the time the Lord appeared, the only thing that was out of the water, of that ocean, was his trunk. So maybe Gajendra must have caught hold of his trunk and pulled him out. This is the hope-giving verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Lord is promising that Durdaivyadi, this is a Durdaiva, the misfortune of Gajendra. Even though in previous birth he was such a great devotee, by misfortune, some or the other, he was put into the body of elephant, where he was, and the body of the elephant means complete ignorance, completely forgetting his whole existence, his whole previous life. But what is the great fortune for such an unfortunate person? The fortune is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Even though the devotee may forget, but the Lord does not forget him. And therefore, even though he may not have called him up directly, he gave him the intelligence to offer those prayers, and as a success of those prayers, the Lord personally comes on Garuda. Personally comes on Garuda to rescue his dear devotee, Chuli Dharyani. So such hope-giving pastimes, which are mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit, is a great hope for every devotee. And therefore, when a devotee hears this pastime, there is a solace for him. That yes, this is the motivation for me to continue in the devotional service, however unqualified, however incapable I may be. That let me just continue. But the other aspect is, just because the Lord has promised that I will protect my devotees, this does not give an excuse for any devotee to be in a comfort zone or to offer prayers of surrender only when you are put in some miserable situation. That is our condition. Like how many times, even as this, whatever I am speaking now is about my own self, that even though being in the temple, devotees outside, congregation devotees, they wait for Sunday, one day, and they, whenever they come there, literally from the door, many times I see, they rush to take darshan, and for minutes or for hours they stand before the deity and gazing the beautiful form of the Lord and offering prayers. We, some or the other, being the residents here, have such a great fortune that the Lord is there for us always. Always there to give darshan. Even when the floor was being constructed, the whole temple was closed. Congregation devotees were longing that please, at least they were gathering outside the gate to have darshan, dur darshan from there. We were having the great fortune to enter right inside the deity room and take darshan. But how many times do we really come and with full surrender offer prayers to the Lord and gaze at the beautiful form of the Lord? Our offering obeisance is, especially means of mine, is simply a mechanical process, ritual. Just because you come, do it and just go, offer dandavat and just run away. Just run away. Only when we are put in some difficult situation, when some calamities come, when something goes wrong, that is the time when the intensity of your prayers, that is the time when the frequency of your visits to take darshan increases so much. So, just because the Lord has promised, we cannot take the Lord's promise very casually. Because we should understand that this material world means a miserable place, not at some intervals, but always. Padam padam yat vipadam natesham. Every moment in this material world is a time or a moment of crisis, moment of misery. And therefore, every devotee, whenever he comes, when we take darshan, especially myself, this is, I was telling Hare Krishna Prabhu that today I am speaking, going to speak something. And the same mistake which I do every time when the Sringar darshan opens, when the darshan opens, the Lord is giving his first darshan, standing behind, rather than offering prayers, even though the Sringar Arati is going on, which Prabhupada has specifically selected as offering of surrender, offering of our hearts, glorifying the Supreme Lord, the tendency is to find some faults with the dressing, to find some faults with the dresser. Yeh barobar kiya nahi, yeh bada ho, turban bada ho gaya, yeh flower aisa ho gaya, yeh garland aisa liya, idhar liya, that liya. That is not the reason for which the Lord is bestowing his darshan. We stand before the deities just to discuss about the dressing and the dresser, not to offer prayers for which the Lord is standing there. And then, yeah, Prabhu, kya dressing kiya, kya dressing kiya? Just wasting time and wasting other the time of the dresser also. I'm simply puffing up the dresser also. That's also, wow, kya dressing kiya maine. When 10 people come and say, Prabhu, kya dressing kiya aaj? He says, sahi mein, kya dressing kiya? As Maharaj very beautiful says in our deity worship manual, we just consider the deity. Maharaj says, the deity is not standing as a model where you can express your artistic abilities. So we just consider the deity as a model to express, see how nicely I can dress so that how many people can glorify us. The deity is standing there Once I was in Sevastan, so I was discussing with Madhvacharya Prabhu. Like the deity, Radha Gopinath is standing here from last 20 years. 20 years is standing there. So many people, right from day one till the present day, so many devotees must have come, so many people have dressed them, so many people must have performed aarti. So many people came and so many people went. But Radha Gopinath are still standing there, accepting or tolerating, I should say, each and every one, and so many still to come. So he's standing there, not just to, yes, dressing is one way to express our love for him, even though externally or superficially for a person like me. But it is actually a moment where we can constantly focus. Those 1.5-2 hours is a time where we can completely focus and offer our prayers of surrender to the Lord. And every moment, not just during the time of dressing, not just time of darshan, every moment of life should be a moment of prayers of surrender. And what is the result of this? The result is, when we spend our life entirely with this, in this mood, which is difficult, and one day when we give up, the Lord will personally come before us face to face. Like I was discussing, when Trivikram Prabhu left, I was asking Madhvacharya Prabhu, did he ever dress? I was asking, there are so many devotees, so many Brahmanas in the congregation who might have never entered even the duty room. So then I asked him, did Trivikram Prabhu ever dress? So he said, yes, he used to dress Radharani before, long before. Then he gave me the list of all the devotees who used to dress in the congregation, devotees. So he must have dressed Radharani so many years before. But when I heard from Vishwarupa Prabhu, I asked him when I was in the hospital, I was asking Vishwarupa Prabhu that, Prabhuji, what is the destination of Trivikram Prabhu? He said, it is clear. When Maharaj visited him, Maharaj said that either, because that time he was in coma, Maharaj said either he comes out of that coma or he goes back home to Godhead. Such a benediction. Such a benediction. Even just engaging in devotional service for a short period of time, he is assured through his pure devotees that he is going back home, back to Godhead. And a beautiful verse comes in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fourth canto, in the prayers of Dhruva Maharaj. In that whole episode, when Dhruva Maharaj performs tapasya, constantly engaging for those 6 months, engaging in devotional service, chanting the holy names of the Lord, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So he was meditating on the form, on the Paramatma, the super soul within his heart. But the fruit, the mature fruit of his tapasya was, all of a sudden, that super soul, that form within the heart, disappeared. And when he opened his eyes, because he was disturbed, because that beautiful sight of the Lord was lost, and he got disturbed. And when he opened his eyes, what did he see? He saw that same form which he was meditating on from last 6 months, which his guru had told him, that same form was there right before him, before his eyes, to have darshan. So therefore, this is the result, that if we can constantly dedicate our life, a life of prayers, of surrender, then one day or in some lifetime, we may be in a position to see the Supreme Lord face to face, which Srila Prabhupada also mentions in that purport. I just like to read to become, rather than paraphrasing it. Kidhar gaya. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that when a devotee becomes mature in his prosecution of devotional service, he sees face to face the same Shyam Sundar. Prabhupada writes, the same Shyam Sundar he has thought of during the entire course of his devotional service. The same Shyam Sundar. So we may have Radha Gopinath. If we can just, and for us, we have Radha Gopinath, for congregation devotees, those who are staying at home, they have their own worshipful deities at home. If some or the other, if we can just dedicate their life, throughout their life, worshipping that deity, their worshipful deity, then here Prabhupada guarantees in this pastime, through this verse, that one can see the Lord face to face. So this is the hope for all the devotees and the result. And that is what Gajendra has achieved. Therefore, through these prayers, what we can just try to imbibe is that let us also begin, or at least for myself, rather than finding faults with the dressers, finding fault with the dressing, if you can just, you know, some garland going up, this going up, barobar nahi kiya, ye nahi kiya. If you can just take that opportunity, that moment as an opportunity to offer prayers of surrender, then one's life can be successful. And not just in miserable conditions, difficult situations, also when we are in the normal state. And we see in this Bhagavatam also, 10th canto, when Akrura had come to take Krishna and Balram, he was not put in any miserable situation externally, because he was in the direct association of the Lord. Krishna, Balram, both of them were there. So when on the process of going back, when Akrura enters into river Jamuna to take his bath, the Lord bestows mercy on him and gives him the darshan in that river Jamuna, not his darshan, but the darshan of the entire spiritual world. And then, even though Akrura was in a completely comfort zone, but if you read those prayers of Akrura, they are really hope-giving and creates a mood in which a devotee should always pray. There are 5 verses which I'll just read the translation because time is also going up. He says that there are many prayers, but these 5 important prayers at the end of that, he says, I am too deluded, O Almighty Lord. Why? Because foolishly I am thinking my body, my children, my home, my wife, my money and followers to be real, though they are actually unreal as a dream. These are why I selected these prayers, was because these are in line with what Gajendra is praying, the same mood. But the difference is, Gajendra is in crisis and is offering prayers, but Akrura is in a comfort zone and he is offering the same prayers. And then he says, the next prayer, thus mistaking the temporary for the eternal, my body for myself, the sources of misery for the sources of happiness, I have tried to take pleasure in material dualities. Covered in this way by ignorance, I could not recognize you as the real object of my love. Then he says, just as a fool overlooks a body of water covered by vegetation growing in it and chooses a mirage, so I have turned away from you. These are the prayers which, when we can stand before the deities, we can just offer. And then he says, my intelligence is so crippled that I cannot find the strength to curb my mind, which is disturbed by material desires and activities and constantly dragged here and there by my obstinate senses. Then he says, being thus fallen, I am approaching your feet for shelter. O Lord, although the impure cannot ever attain your feet, I think it is nevertheless impossible by your mercy. Only when one's material life has ceased, O lotus naveled one develops consciousness of you by serving your pure devotees. And then he says, obeisances unto the Supreme Absolute Truth, the possessor of unlimited energies. He is the embodiment of pure transcendental knowledge, the source of all kinds of awareness, the predominator of the forces of nature that rule over the living beings. Same in line with Gajendra's prayers. And then the last prayer he says, O son of Vasudev, obeisances to you, within whom all the living beings reside. O Lord of mind and senses, again I offer my obeisances. O Master, please protect me, who am surrendered unto you. So these are the prayers of surrender. So Vasudev is offering himself and presenting his surrender to Krishna and begging for protection. So these prayers are the prayers which one can meditate on, and these prayers are the prayers which are hope-giving and which can help us to come closer and closer to Krishna and achieve the ultimate goal of our life, going back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. हरे कृष्ण। श्रील प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय।